Okay, it's official, we're recording. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. Welcome back, week two of our summer series. It's good to see everybody. I still just can't believe that it is June 11th and it is raining. What is up with that? Not that I'm not thankful, but wow, we've had just some crazy wet. This is so foreign to San Diego. Right? It's crazy. We had the windshield wipers all the way down the hill. It's crazy. Carla, you probably had, up in Julian, I'm sure it was.
Windshield wipers all the way down.
I was thinking about last week, and I felt so, there we go. Thanks, Carla. I felt, I'd had all this study. I was trying to get ready and prepared. I got up last Sunday morning. I'm like, okay, just one last little review, just so it's fresh in my mind. And I started looking through my notes, and I went, I don't even know what I'm saying. Does this even make sense? I don't even know if this is going to work. Like, I just had this whole moment of, like, and I think that just, like, threw me off from the very beginning last week. Like, I just felt like I wasn't making any sense, and I was just babbling. And I think it's just from that moment that I woke up that it just wasn't secure in my mind. I can't think of another word. Anyway, so hopefully this week I can feel a little bit better about that. Let's go ahead and start with a prayer. Angela is going to lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives, God. I thank you for these wonderful ladies and for Stephanie. And I just pray, Lord, that you bless Stephanie and guide her as she teaches us this morning. I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And may we be challenged and encouraged in your word, equipped to love, Lord. Love you, love each other. Love the world you've put us in, and the sphere of influence, God. May we be equipped this morning to go out and share your love. And I just thank you so much for my sisters, and I thank you for this time together, God. And we pray again for your blessings. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Hi, girls. Okay, so we'll just do like just a quick synopsis of last week. So this summer we're focusing on agape love, love in action, and how to really put that in our lives daily. So last week we talked about the definition of agape love, which we discussed that it is an action, it is sacrificial, it's not something that we deserve. It's unconditional. It's not just a feeling of like, oh, you're so great, I love you. It's an intentionality to put someone else before your own self. We also talked about kind of our ways that, in our human ways of loving, right? We want to put value. We decide the value of someone and whether we are going to show them that love or not. And we talked about the different ways that we do that. And then we also, you know, talked about that Christ gave us the ultimate example of what agape love is in sacrificing himself for our sins. We read about his crucifixion and really just tried to put in our hearts that sacrifice that he gave to us and helping us to understand our humility and that this is the type of love that we need to be serving others with. He did it for us. We didn't deserve it. And once we can understand a little bit, once we put that in our hearts more that we didn't deserve what we got, it makes it a little bit easier, hopefully, for us to be able to show our love to others. So that was kind of our beginning introduction for the summer. Today, I kind of want to focus a little bit on the history of the church at Corinth and some of the problems that they faced in their congregation and why there was this emphasis on love. Why did 1 Corinthians 13 need to be mentioned? Why is there so much detail about how we're to love each other? And what can we learn from them so that we can implement those things in our life? the Lord talks a lot about love and how we should be treating each other. It is, it's just prominent throughout Scripture. And he even goes, we read 1 Corinthians 13 last week, but he goes very detailed in, you know, even if you're giving to the poor, even if you can prophesy, even if you have all these great things, but you're not loving your brothers and sisters, doesn't mean a thing. And I think we're going to see today that we very easily can fall into and do fall into the same traps. I kind of think, as I've been studying this more, because love is talked so much about this in the Scriptures, that God knew this was going to be a struggle for us. This is going to be a problem for these people, right? And so I think he hits us hard with our human nature and what we tend to just automatically do and automatically think. And so that has just kind of hit me through my study of, like, he's really trying to tell us something and we need to listen, right? Okay, so let's start with a little bit just basic history of the city of Corinth and the church there. Before I go there, is there any comments, questions, anything that you want to bring up before we head that way? Okay. So if you remember, if you participated in Kenny's class when we were talking about Luke, he had a slide of where the city of Corinth is. So it's in a little sliver, right? And you have the Gulf of Corinth, and you have, is it the Sarnonic Gulf? I don't know how to say it. So it's right in between these bodies of water. It's a little sliver of land. The commercial industry is very strong, because what they do is they take the goods from one gulf and they take it across the land, because it's very small, to the other gulf, rather than having to go all the way around in very treacherous seas. The god Aphrodite, a Greek god, she is the goddess of love, pleasure, and procreation, was very prominent. Human sexuality, that was a very big cultural thing at that time. Prostitution was legal. It was just prominent in that whole area. Women actually sought out Aphrodite if you were struggling to get pregnant. So they saw her as kind of the god of fertility, right? So I say these things because we so easily read Scripture and go, oh, that was them. That was their problem. Think about the culture at this time. And if you're living in this, and prostitution's okay, sexuality is okay, this is this, you know, they have the temple for this goddess. Like, that's your life. That's what you think is the right thing, because that's how the culture that you were brought up in. So think about those things as we're going through here, because it's so easy to just kind of, like, that was their problem. But we have similar problems, and it's based on our cultures, right? Okay, so the population is mostly Greeks, but there are Jews and Romans as well. Paul starts this congregation in his second missionary journey. He was in Corinth for about 18 months when he was establishing this congregation. And the letter that is written in 1 Corinthians is about, this congregation is about 3 years old at the time that he's writing and hearing about all the problems that are going on in this congregation that he had started. Okay, so one of the problems that I have with doing this is there's so much detail, and trying to, for the sake of time, be able to communicate correctly and not get into all the details, I find is a struggle for me. So I'm going to work really hard to not get too detailed, but feel free to jump in if you, in your own studies, have something to add as well. So some of the struggles that Paul is hearing about in the congregation. In the very first chapter, he's like, you guys need to get along. I mean, first off, right off the bat, they're not getting along. They are intellectual, pride was very prominent. So they were, you know, choosing who they wanted to be under, whether that was Paul or Apollos or Peter. Who were they following? And Paul quickly tells them, none of those people matter. It's Christ. I'm here for Christ, right? But again, this kind of like just goes into play about what we value, right? They valued wisdom. They being wise was very important. And so they would just be loyal to certain people and or whoever they thought was smarter, you know, had more intellect. One of the things I thought was interesting is that, you know, it's pointed out how the Jews really looked at their big thing was the miraculous, right? They wanted to see the miraculous, whereas the Greeks were very, the wisdom, right? So that in and of itself creates a cultural explosion at times, right? Depending on what you value and what you see as important. The other, he spends a lot of time on sexual immorality. So, and again, why is that, right? Think about what's happening in the city of Corinth right now. Their whole world is, I mean, prostitution was a huge part of their industry. That was actually even part of what made the city of Corinth grow, because you had all the merchants, commercial people coming in, having that done, and feeding into the economy of Corinth, right? So this is their world. This is what they know as normal. So he spends a lot of time talking about the sexual immorality, one of them being that there was a believer in the church, right, that had his father's wife. And he points out that even the pagans, even the people that worship the gods, would think that that is just detestable, right? But then he spends a couple of scriptures talking about sexual immorality and how our bodies are a temple. And yes, our bodies are a temple. I think given their background, no wonder that was a struggle, right? Like they're trying to understand all of this was okay and now it's not okay. And how do I reconcile that? One of their other struggles, they were suing each other over trivial things, right? And again, in their defense, that was part of their culture. If they had a dispute, going to the city magistrate was just a common thing. Like, I have a problem with you. We're going to go over here. We're going to take care of it, right? I'm going to take you to court because I disagree for whatever reason. So he talks about how the lack of representing Christ, right? Like now you're representing Christ. Like you can't be going into the courts with people who don't even know God trying to decide your issues, right? And the example that you're giving to the community, right? You're representing Christ and here you are running off over every little ridiculous thing. He reminds them that they were cleansed by God now and that they need to live up to this new identity, and that they're not showing Christ in their community by the way that they're acting. He also says, which was things for us to take in, is that better to be defrauded than to go to court, which is a pretty strong statement, especially in our culture. We talked about this last week, where it's just me, and I'm right, and I'm right, and I'm going to make sure that everyone knows that I'm right. Right? Anybody have any other thoughts on that right now? Sorry, I don't want to over... Missed one. Okay, so then he also talks about judging others and the food offered to idols, right? So he spends a lot of time talking about how there were people that had deep idol worship background that was part of how they saw meat, right? That was, and again, try to put yourself in these situations. We're going to try to talk about that. So be thinking about that as we're discussing what their issues are, because even though we may not have this exact same problem, the underlying heart of it is still there, right? Anyway, there are those that had this background, and they could not eat meat with a clear conscience. Like, that was really a big issue. And he does say, it's not the meat, doesn't really matter. But if your brother or sister is really struggling with that, just don't do it. Why are you doing it? You know, because again, we need to be loving our brother and sister. We need to be looking out for them above us, even if it's our right to do that. And he even says, Christ died for that person. And you can't just give up a meal. Great. They were misusing the Lord's Supper. They used it more as a food gathering party, if you will, and they were completely divided. The wealthy were eating it up, while the people that were poor were going hungry. I mean, you can see a lot of similarities. So he spends a lot of time in chapter 11 going over the seriousness of the Lord's Supper, right? And how that is to be solemn time. It's not meant to be food and party time. And he spends a lot of time telling them that telling us how the Lord's Supper should be taken, right? He also spends some time on the spiritual gifts, right? Talks about how we each have a gift, and we're all part of the body, and every piece of the body is important. Nobody, because again, they really struggled with arrogance. I am so important. I am the one. I got it all together. I have the most wisdom. I have the best spiritual gifts. That was a very big problem in this church. So he reminds them, you're all important. God's the one that created the gifts. I gave them to you. So every single one of them is important, and they all work in unison to make it complete, right? Every single one is needed. Okay, so let me stop there, because I want to be able to spend... Now I'm going to rush through, sorry. Does anybody have any other thoughts in their study, any other concern? What other things were going on that you might be aware of? Sorry, I'm hot. Nope. Lily.
It's interesting, all the things I'm listening that you're saying. I'm like, I'm speaking for myself. I'm like, man, it sounds like you're talking to me. Like, not so much to the Corinthian church.
Right.
It's just speaking to me.
Yeah.
When you brought up the verse about... they were suing each other, and he called them to say, just be defrauded. Don't even, you know. But then in Romans, it takes even a step like above that. It says in Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. I'm like, oh, it's not even just
yeah.
Be wrong. No,
right,
do good.
Right. Go even beyond that. Yes, Meredith.
I was just thinking that there's really nothing new under the sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of this is applicable to us today.
Yep.
We live in a state where lots of people sue each other for maybe what we do as petty things. And just the idea of like coming out of the world and how much needs to change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of this were new concepts to
right.
them. But I mean, the same holds true to us when we truly are trying to walk
mm-hmm.
in Christ-like way.
Right. Yeah. That really stood out to me as well. Thinking about I know I feel it too, right? Every generation feels like it's the worst, everything's the worst. If we didn't have these phones, if we didn't have computers, we didn't have the internet, right? Like we always feel like our time, it's the worst. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think it, like if you look back at some of the things that they struggled with and that was a part of their life, it's just, people are the same. It's different in that our technology and the way we do things is different, but our human natures are the same. And there isn't anything new under the sun, right? Grace.
The focus too is to remember that once we became Christians, we're supposed to be not of self, none of me, right? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12-14 is really important to remember, because our life today, like back then, is always about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, freedom, right? But exactly what is freedom? It's freedom from sin.
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 12 it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us are dominated by so many things? Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for the food, but God will destroy both one and the other.
Mm-hmm.
The body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So the key here is, once we became a Christian,
mm-hmm.
who's our head? It's
mm-hmm.
not us.
Right.
It's God. It's the Lord, right? But for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Because that's what we remember. Once we committed to Christ, we're not ours. We, our bodies belong to Christ.
Right.
So if we think through that lens, hopefully it'll help eliminate a lot of things that we're dealing with.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that's the struggle, though, between knowing and the emotions and whatever's happening in our life at the moment, right? Like, it's, you're absolutely right. That's exactly, and that's, I think that's what he, the heart of what he's trying to say. You guys are Christians now. You are, your life is supposed to shine as Christ being in your life, and yet look at all the chaos that's happening in the congregation within 3 years. It only took 3 years, and this is just chaos that's happening. And so I think that's the heart of where our, this summer class, right? How do we get from that? We know, we all know, it's not about knowing, but how do we start to change the way that we think when we have that moment of so-and-so hurt my feelings, so-and-so upset me, I don't like the preacher, I don't like what's happening, you know, why aren't we doing it this way? Whatever it is that's happening, when we take it from that moment, how do we get back to that? Right? How do we get back to that? And that's kind of where... That's where this is started. That's where this whole class started, was that focal point. So that is my next thing, is what are some of the similarities? What are you seeing? We've got a couple. What are you seeing that are similar? Maybe not similar in the sense that we have this particular problem, but what's the undertone behind it? Julie?
I think we assume that everybody knows what we know or believes what we believe in a general sense. We're a Christian nation, and therefore sexual immorality, living with a person,
mm-hmm.
we believe the scriptures teach that that's,
right.
that's sin. There's a lot of people at this point who have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they think it's much better to live together than to get married and
right.
then inevitably, as they see it, divorce.
Right.
So, you know, it's we can't assume that people know.
Right.
And also then we have to look at what is it we just kind of believe and not really applying that to the scriptures. And one thing that bugs me is we have stand your ground laws all over this country,
mm-hmm.
which means that you can kill someone for trying to steal from you. I mean, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We are in that place where we think it's to defend my property.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Paul is saying, no, give them more.
Right, right.
Don't,
none of it matters.
Let yourself be defrauded. And that is so un-American.
Yes.
That is so un-American. And I think a lot of us have that in our mind, too.
Right.
I can protect my stuff.
Right.
To whatever extent. If you're trying to steal, coming
right.
into my home
right.
and taking something,
right.
we believe
yep.
we can kill them.
Yep.
That's a general thought in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nope,
yep.
that is not what Jesus
yep.
said to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Turn the other cheek.
Right.
Give them more.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's,
right.
that's so un-American.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's it. That's
and
it,
I think right. that because it is just such a part of our society, we have a hard time really looking at that and
right.
understanding what that means in the
right.
practical sense.
Right.
And I know they did too.
Right. Yes.
You're telling
clearly.
Them something they have never thought about before.
That's right. I that really stood out to me. Like
yeah.
this is their culture. That's what you think about the way you were raised, you know, especially if you weren't raised in the church. Like my husband was raised as a Catholic, right? His mind before he became a Christian was completely different. And you can't just go, okay, well, that's just, you're wrong. right?
right?
That's, you have to be able to take people from where they are.
Right.
And you know, and that might take a while.
Yeah.
That might take a while.
And they might know it and still do
right.
what is comfortable, accustomed.
Right.
They're, it almost feels like who you are.
Right. Exactly. What else? Jen.
Well, in going back to what you were talking about culturally within them, especially when it came to sexuality and some of the sexual depravities that they were okay with back then, I mean, we've come full circle now, and we as Christians are almost attacked by it because when we take the stance that's laid out for us here, you know, we're unloving, we're bigot, like things like that, and so this is a reminder of, no, this hasn't changed. Not like what parents would say, nothing has changed, and our response should still be the same. God's word, in terms of these things, also has not changed.
Right.
And there's a lot of Christians that really struggle with that because it can be off-putting to people. Obviously, our approach needs to be in gentleness and in love, but what's being laid out for us here hasn't changed.
Right. Well, and I think that's part of the whole 1 Corinthians 13, right? It's nowhere in there does it say anybody can do whatever they want, right? It's still, but this is how you're going to show people. You still can show people love and disagree. Jen.
I think what you were talking about before, about like how we get from point A to point B, and I really think for all of us, it's getting out of our comfort zone. We're so used to being this certain way. Well, that's just how I am, whatever it may be, you know? And it's getting out of that comfort zone and getting out of self. And and I know it's cliche, but what would Jesus do? I mean, really, what would he do? And learning how to feel uncomfortable in a situation, even though you're feeling like, maybe I'm getting walked on, or maybe whatever it may be. You know, I don't think they like me anymore. But getting out of that comfort zone and clinging to the fact of really what we should be, I think is the huge key for all of us. Because we get into that and then we get scared and we go right back where we were again because that's what we know. Like Julie
it's
said,
natural.
That's like what you know. That's all you know.
Yeah, it's absolutely natural. And it's hard to put yourself in a not comfortable situation. Nobody likes that. Meredith?
And sometimes we use like how God created us to like as an excuse to stay in our comfort zone. Like, this is who God made me to be. That's not one of my talents. And, you know, this is how I am, like she said.
Yeah.
But, you know, God is always looking for us to grow. And, what's the example of like a precious metal, you know, exposed to the fire? Like, we are not supposed to stay the same.
Yeah, we should be growing all the time, pushing ourselves. Linda.
Well, it makes me think about an athlete that uses certain muscles, and they need to strengthen those muscles in order to play that sport. And so they have to exercise them and exercise them and exercise them to make them strong when they play that sport. And it's kind of like how those things, the more we practice them, the stronger we get, and the easier it is, and it becomes second nature. You don't have to think so hard.
Absolutely.
But then if you let it go for a while, you have to start over.
Yeah, exactly. Exercise.
And it's not comfortable.
It's not comfortable. And you sometimes have to force yourself, Like if you're going to get on the treadmill, Stephanie, you just got to get up and do it, because if you don't, like you will go back. And it takes that moment of, am I going to do it or I'm not going to do it? Or if it's something that you shouldn't eat and you look at it and you go, I really want that donut. I really, really want that donut. Okay, again, it's trivial, but it's the same type of thing. Well, I want it. I just want it. I know it's bad for me. I know I shouldn't have it, but I just want it, so I'm just going to eat it anyway. And then afterwards, why did I do that, Donna.
Something somebody said reminded me of, I was at a conference about discrimination and all of that. And a black man was leading it, and a man that looked like he was from the Philippines, I guess, is what he looked like. And he says, but how do you act like a Christian and not retaliate when that will make you look like a victim and they'll continue to treat you like a victim? And the black man said, I always tell people I'm choosing not to retaliate. He says, that way they know that I have
You have the power.
I have the power to retaliate, and I may have the desire to retaliate,
right,
but I have chosen not to retaliate.
Right, right.
And it was very impactful for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and part of a big section that is reiterated a lot in 1 Corinthians is how, let's see if I can articulate this right. He talks so much about Paul telling them that, hey, you guys are all about these wise people and you think they're so great, and yet God is the one. God is the one that knows in the background, and it's the lowly that appreciate what he brings to the table and what he has done for everyone. And but if you don't know, you don't know. You think it's all about retaliating or looking like I'm in charge and I'm in power, when really it's not. It's over here. God is the one that really has the ultimate power. So I think sometimes, where are we at? 10 o'clock. Okay. So let's hone in on specific traits or characteristics or things that we do. Why do we struggle so much with this? What is it within us? Like, we can look at this big picture and this situation that's happening, but we got to narrow it down. We got to narrow it down to us. What are we doing? What's happening within us, right? Like, I'll just name one. Obviously, selfishness, right? We talked about it. Like, that's a character trait problem. Jen?
For sure, right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Lily?
I don't know if this answers the question. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, I think, about, with sharing the gospel to people, and some people that might be like, oh, well, you know, Christians are hypocrites and whatever it may be. And it's like, if you look at the scriptures, there are so many people that are imperfect. And it comes back to your point. It's not about us. Unfortunately, we put our expectations on people. Well, you're Christian, so clearly
right.
You should be perfect and you shouldn't
right.
judge. No, I'm human.
Right.
Look at the Bible and look
right.
at all these imperfect people that God used. It's not us. It's
right.
Jesus. It's God.
Right.
And so how do we shift that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me because I'm going to screw up.
Right, right.
Look at God.
Right.
That is a direction.
Right. But that goes back to the humility, right? Jan?
I'm just going to say it's insecurity.
Yes.
We're not secure in ourselves.
Right. Yes. That's one of the ones that I wrote down. Ariel?
I think sometimes we're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And raising your kids are hard, and going to work for a minimum of 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in traffic for 2 hours every day, like,
mm-hmm.
it just makes you tired. And
right.
so it's like, why fight more?
Right.
Like, why put in any more energy
right.
than you already have to during your week?
Right. Well, especially if it's something that's going to make you uncomfortable. Like, that even takes more effort and more energy. To, you know, when that person needs help, you know, when you get that phone call and somebody needs something, or, you know, whatever the situation is. But I do think that pride and humility, that one is probably the biggest one for me. I don't know, and we talked a little bit about this last week, I don't know if you can really get to the point of truly loving people the way God wants us to, unless you have that humility. And humility does not equal insecurity. It actually makes you secure, actually makes you confident, right? Because I know my place, I know I'm not perfect, I know I'm not deserving, and it just, I think we even talked a little bit about that. It gives you a confidence, right? Grace, and then Meredith.
I'm gonna flip it the other way. I think it's a matter of knowing your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And truly understanding who you are, what you are. Because you think about that's something that a lot of people are struggling with
mm-hmm.
these days, right? Who am I? What am I?
Mm-hmm.
And if we distill it to who am I? I'm Christ's child. I'm Christ's bride.
Mm-hmm.
And you use words that really draw the amount of gravity of who we should be and our
mm-hmm.
purpose on this world. Our purpose here is not to live for ourselves. Our purpose here is to emulate,
mm-hmm.
imitate
mm-hmm.
Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? Philippians chapter 2. And even in this opening scripture of all the letters, Christ, Paul himself is using himself as an example.
Mm-hmm.
It's not him,
mm-hmm.
right? He's nothing. He's just a
the messenger
through Christ and through God in manifesting God's power, Christ, God's love, Christ's sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we look through that lens and search and desperately yearn for, you know what? I want to be that because I am that. Why? Because Christ died for me.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. Meredith.
She said it much more eloquently. But I was going to say along those same lines, yeah, it's knowing about insecurity and our worth. It's because who we are, but whose we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are God's child.
Right.
And how do you get to know whose you are? Where's your time?
Mm-hmm.
And to Ariel's point, it's like we are so busy. I mean, look at our culture.
Yep.
Let's say you spend an hour a day in God's Word. I mean, I think we would be like, wow, like that's great. But, what's
mm-hmm.
the reality? Like, we can't know whose we are unless we get to know who He is.
Right, right.
So where's our time
yep.
going?
Yep. And if you're not doing those things, then now you've just complicated, right? When those times come up that it's time to, you know, either step in and help people. And again, I personally think, I don't think we struggle as much with helping people. It's the everyday attitude about each other and things that we perceive that is more of our struggle, right? I pass you and you didn't smile at me. And are you mad at me? Did I do something? Oh, I think she's mad at me, right? Like, that's the kind of stuff that we struggle with more, right?
If we are truly grounded
mm-hmm.
in God's word and knowing who, we won't have those attitudes,
right.
But that, I think that's where we fall short is we're
right.
not.
Right.
I mean, yes, we're Christians, we're believers, like we're trying to grow, we're trying to do the best we can, but I think we all fall short,
yep.
you know?
Absolutely.
Of getting to know God and knowing like our purpose here, because mm-hmm. When we truly know that, we're going to be able to brush so much of that stuff off.
Absolutely, yes.
But we got work to do.
Yes, yes. I was thinking about something, Lily, that you said, and it just went out of my head. Okay, give me 2 seconds. It'll come back, I think. Okay, it's gone. It'll come back. I hope. I hope it'll come back. What else, Jen?
Thinking back off of what Mayor said, I really, really think we have to remember, too, like she said, taking an hour a day, like that, to a lot of people, like that's
impossible.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Right.
Spend an hour with God. Well, that doesn't mean, okay, let's see, I got the laundry done, I got the kids to school,
mm-hmm.
I went grocery shopping, I did my hour of Bible study,
mm-hmm.
I fixed dinner, I, you know, it's,
check
it's
it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not about that.
Right.
It's about the desire to want to know.
Right.
It's
right.
not just one more thing on our checklist.
Exactly. Yes. And that's exactly it, Donna. You nailed it. It was her hypocrite comment. I was thinking about that, and I think that's part of why, and he says it, why he's focusing so much on love, because we're not going to be perfect. People are we're going to mess up. Other people are going to mess up. But how will Christ show through? By how we're treating each other, which is the whole basis of 1 Corinthians 13, right? Like, everything that we're going to start covering over the summer, because we'll narrow down each week a different topic, it's that. So you don't have, you know, if you don't have the knowledge, maybe you're just a brand new Christian, guess what? You can still show Christ's love. You can still teach Christ by how you're teaching, how you're treating other people. Like, that is what's going to show through. And he makes that so clear about, it doesn't matter if you're doing all these things, doesn't matter if you have all the knowledge, it doesn't matter. But if you can't just be nice to people and show my love by how you behave, none of it matters. None of it matters. I always kind of thought too, I think sometimes we are afraid might be a strong word, but we don't show love because we don't want to have the appearance that we're approving of someone's bad behavior, right? I'll give you a little bit of credit there, but none of that is mentioned here. Like, think about what's happening in the Corinthian church, right? incest, sexual immorality. Like, think about the things that are happening here. And he condemns them for it. I'm not saying that he doesn't condemn them for it. But he's still saying, behave yourself, be kind, show love, do everything in love, right? That was kind of one of the things that I thought about. I think many times we misunderstand each other because we don't take the time. Meredith?
Yeah, I think, like, to your point, I think we hold other people, like, in the world to the standards that we have. Mm-hmm. But they haven't taken on Christ. Like, we know that's the better way, but we can't, we're going to show them by how we behave.
That's right.
So not holding, like, this set of commandments, mm-hmm. you know, on everybody, that's not
right.
how you're going to convict
somebody. Effectively, right.
Yeah, so how do we show love knowing that we don't approve of their behavior, but they also haven't taken on Christ.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know that we can always hold everybody to the
right.
same standards that we look for.
Right. Well,
we want
and
that
I,
for them.
Right, right. We have to get to a point where they look at us and they want what we have, not to battle over right and wrong necessarily at that point, but it's more of emanating Christ's love for each other and being kind to one another. I can work with somebody who's completely worldly, has a very different point of view on many, many topics. I still care about her. I still have respectful, engaging conversations. I still want to know what's happening in her life. I want her to be able to see that I'm not like the world portrays us, that we're hateful and all of those things that get titled with a Christian. I want her to see something different. And I'm not condoning anything that she agrees with. I'm just showing her respect and love based on our friendship at that point, because I want her to see that. I want her to see that we're not all the same, because if people know you're a Christian, you're being watched. You're being watched just for that moment of gotcha, right? You're not what you say you are. What else? Okay, I got that. Okay. Anything else I'm going to bring to the table? Billy.
You said something that reminded me of just, I feel like we all want to be heard. We all want to be, you know, cared about. And mm-hmm. when you said, you know, asking maybe your coworker, like, hey, how's your day? How are you doing? That opens up that conversation and that relationship that it's like, okay, they shared this with me. And that's our opportunity to show that love, whether it's like, you know what, you're going through something difficult. Let's pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed is planted, and the hope is that in the future they're like, okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they might mess up, because everyone messes up,
right.
but they care.
Right.
They really care.
Right. Right. Well, and I think the challenge comes for us is really being able to take a step back and self-analyze, right, in those situations. In our situations with each other, right? Like, how do we treat visitors? How do we treat new members? How do we treat people that come in and they're not from America, right? Like, they're not, which actually I love. I love Ksenia and her family. How do we respond to that? Like, are we just so quick to make judgments, right? Or are we gonna show them that none of that stuff matters? I mean, I guess that's really the heart of it. It kind of goes back to all the comments that you're making, is that at the end of the day, it's, you know, Christ died for us, and we need to show that love for others and emulate that in all of our relationships, whether you're in the church or outside of the church. You've taken on Christ. You need to be a reflection of that so that you can shine outside, so that people want to be a part of it. We need to show that, I mean, again, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Your life needs to be where somebody looks at it and goes, I want what they have. What do they have? Because I'm doing it wrong. Something's wrong, right? What do they have? Why are they happy? And if we're grumpy, if we're upset all the time, all of that is encompassed. It's not even just our demeanor, the words out of our mouth. All of those things have a complete reflection on what people see in our lives and emulating Christ, right? Okay, any final comments? Okay, a little bit of, let me make sure I get to my very last note. I think we got it all. Okay, we're going to switch up a class. I just want to kind of keep you, since we don't have booklets, let you know. So next week is going to be Julie with Love is Kind. Make sure I have this right. Then we're going to Meredith with Patience. So we might not be in exact order of 1 Corinthians 13.
They have to be patient.
That's right.
Here it is with all tricks. You can wait.
Yes.
A week longer.
Yes. So.
I'm just going to tell you how to be nice.
There you go. Just be nice. Everybody just be nice.
It's so easy. It's just so basic.
So next week is Love is Kind, and then June 25th, Meredith will have Love is Patience, and then we'll make sure you know each week what the, it should, I think we had one more swap with Hoka and somebody else, I can't remember, oh, Lisa, that's right, Lisa and Hoka swapped. So we'll have a couple that will be out of order, but they'll be wonderful, amazing lessons, I'm sure. So I'm done. You guys don't have to listen to me talk anymore. All these wonderful ladies are going to be stepping up to give you each some words of wisdom. So I look forward to them. And thank you all very much. This is great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.